In the first epistle of John, first chapter, third verse, that which we've seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. We say we have fellowship with him, walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Reading 3 through 7, if correctly read, of that first chapter. Permit me to say just a word on the behalf of Myrtle Baptist Church. It's been a thrill to us to have you brethren come. Our folks have thoroughly enjoyed you and been greatly blessed with your presence. Like I said in the beginning, there's hundreds of places you could have met, and probably met at places been more ideal than this in some respects because of the size of things. But there'd be no place in the whole state that you could have met that folks would have been prouder to have had you and appreciated you coming more than we would. You've honored us with your presence, and with your spirit of fellowship has been tremendous with our people. On the behalf of all of our people and our church as a whole, which is composed of 137 members, of course we care nothing except active members. If they won't act, they can't stay. But every last one of them have been delighted and welcomed you here. Thank God for Dr. Kelly and for Brother Emery letting you come this way. Everything hasn't been as you would have loved to have had it, or as we'd loved to have had it. But I think all of us did the best we could under the circumstances, and that's in the past. We're looking for something else tomorrow. Thank you for coming. Thank you for the wonderful spirit that you've shown. God bless you for all of it. May we pray. Our Father, we pray in the name of Jesus now that your Holy Spirit shall have full sway with us today. We are conscious these men are going home now, going back out there where the field is, where it's rough, where the opportunities are great, where the responsibilities are heavy. They need your help, and we pray for every one of them. They may have wisdom and may have power. God bless these men who have come and shared with us their wisdom and knowledge of the things of how to do it and which is the best to do. And we pray that you'll bless each one of the personnel that's helped to make this conference possible. And oh God, we pray that as we turn away from this place today, we'll turn away with a determination we hadn't had before, for Christ's sake. Amen. Like he who drives his automobile into the dense fog of a night, he does it with trembling hands and a troubled heart and a fearful mind, because he cannot tell what moment his machine may have an accident. Like he who sits at the controls of a mighty airship that plows its way in space. He does it with a trembling hand and a troubled heart and a fearful mind, because he can't tell when he might hit a washout in the air and bring destruction, like he who sits at the throttles of a great locomotive that plows its way across the country. He does it with a trembling hand and a troubled heart and a fearful mind, because he cannot tell in the denseness of the fog what moment an accident can happen that means life and property destroyed. In like manner, today we're standing in one of the densest, darkest fogs American civilization has ever had. We're standing in it from the White House to the poor man's house. And it seems that the fog is becoming denser, and people's hearts are becoming troubled, and people's minds are becoming fearful, and our hands are trembling. But I want to declare to you in the name of the Lord today that we Baptists have a message to preach and teach that this nation needs. Notice what it said, that this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. There is no fog that can settle, that the light of God cannot pierce. There is no darkness that comes upon us that can hide the light of God. God is light, and our people need to wake up to it. Go back and preach it to them. Teach it to them that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. No fog can settle. No darkness can come. No discouragement can reach them, that the light of God cannot pierce through it all and show them the way. Jesus said, I'm the way. He's still the way. In the midst of all of the darkness, in the midst of all of the confusions, in the midst of all of the uneasiness, he's still the way. You as Baptist preachers and teachers still have the message of the day. We have the message that God is light, and that's what the world's needing. So preach it, teach it, that God is light, that God is our refuge. From everlasting unto everlasting, thou hast been our refuge. The eternal God is our refuge, and underneath are his everlasting arms. God hasn't weakened. And we must lift our eyes unto the hills from whence cometh our help. Our help's always come from God. It still comes from God. Go back and preach it and teach it to your people that God's the same. God hasn't changed. He's still on the same hill, so to speak. He's still the same. And the psalmist said, once I was young and now I'm old. Now I've never seen the seed of the righteous forsaken or begging bread. Go back and declare the message that God is their security against poverty, their security against starvation. Because if they honor God with their lives, then, my friends, the seed of the righteous shall never be found begging bread. Let your people know that if they're tithers and faithful to the church, they'll never be found in a bread line. If you'll show me any group of people that have been honest with God in their tithes and faithful in the church, stand in the bread line, I'll quit preaching. Because God said he'd open the windows of heaven. There is heaven. And he's got plenty up there to open to see that they don't starve. A lot of folks are uneasy right now, brethren, and they're getting disturbed about how they're going to live. Teach them to tithe. Teach them to become separated Christians and live for God and forget the rest of it. It's God's business to take care of that other part. We're in business with him. He's not going to go bankrupt. He's not going out of business. He'll be in business when the government even fails, when nations fail, when corporations. He's still in business. He's still the God that can send quails to our yards if necessary. He's the God that can rain manna down out of heaven if it's necessary. He's the God that can send the ravens to your house for some meat if you run out and there's no other way to get it. And our people need to turn their faces back toward God. This is a message that we Baptists ought to preach and teach. Go back and do it. God is our refuge. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And then we must go in the midst of a world that's torn in prejudice and hate, which is the backwash of a war, generation after generation. All of the prejudice and hate, and yet he said this is the message that we should preach, and that is this message that we have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, which the brother was talking about, which Dr. Scribble was talking about. My friends, love will do
know it. You can't defeat genuine love. It'll live through the storms. It'll live through the dark. It'll live through anything else. Genuine love. We have a message of love, not of hate, not of prejudice. Preach it. Teach it. That God is love. And if they're going to be godly, they're going to have to love. And if they're not loving, they're not godly. Preach it to them. Teach it to them. If you don't love, you don't have God like you ought to. If you get filled up on God, then there'll be love. A message, my friends, of love is the need of this hour. You fellows need to go back and preach it and practice it and teach it and lead your people to do it. And we stop to recognize, then we find that not only a message of love and a message of salvation, my friends, also we've got to preach and teach. This world's lost in sin. Millions of people without God. We've got a message of salvation we can preach and teach. And we need to go back and preach it and teach it. A message of salvation for all sorts of people. For example, my friends, we've got a message of salvation for the wrecks of sin. I'm thinking, for example, I remember years ago they asked me to go talk to a man in the jail, in the death cell. He couldn't get out to join a church. He couldn't get out to be baptized. It's just a few moments until he's to go. And I told him about Jesus. And got him on his knees in that death cell, knee on the knees on the other side of the little scuttle hole where I spoke to him. He said, but I've done this. And he told him some terrible crimes he'd committed. I said, yeah, but Jesus will save you. He said, I can't get out to join the church and be baptized. I said, yeah, but Jesus will save you. And I told him how to be saved. And on his knees inside of that cold death cell, he called on the Lord and he saved him. And he stuck his hand through the little peephole, and I stuck mine in his, and he kissed it, and warm salted tears run down as he rejoiced. Jesus saved him in there. And my friends, what I'm saying is, he can save him anytime, anywhere. Thank God we've got that kind of a message. I was in a state of Tennessee. I went to the jail to see a woman and her daughter that was in there for bootlegging liquor. And they said, you're a Baptist. I said, right. Said, we want our pastor to come and talk to us. I said, okay. Be glad to call on him and have him to do it. And I went to his church building, which costs $1 million to build. He's there in his shrinky office, in his swivel chairs. And I went and I said, Mrs. So-and-so and her daughter's down here in the county jail. And they want you to talk to them about the Lord. He said, I'm sorry, I don't have message for people like that. I said, what do you mean? He said, I don't. I said, would you mind telling me why? He said, well, none of your business. I said, yeah, I've got to go back and tell her why. Of course, you think I lied to her and didn't come tell you if I don't tell her what happened. He said, well, there's no baptistry in the jail, and I can't get her out to baptize her. Therefore, I can't give her my kind of religion. I said, thank you, sir. I walked out on Main Street and tipped my hat and bowed my head. And I said, thank God, I've got a Jesus to save. You don't have to be standing in a puddle of water to get it done. Message of salvation we can preach anytime, anywhere, any place. I was coming back from the Southern Baptist Convention when it met in Atlanta. Back during the other time when there's a scarcity of gas and tires, and I ran the train. A couple of ladies from up in Dyersburg, Tennessee, came in the coach where I was and said, Mr. Ray, we want to hear you preach. We've heard a lot about you. I said, well, maybe you can sometime. Said, no, we want you to preach here. I said, the train won't let me. Said, yes, Will, we've talked to the conductor and the flagman. He said, it's all right. It was crowded, 3 deep in the seat and 2 standing in the aisle. It was a crowded time. And that train running 70 miles an hour. And I thought, well, I said, tell you the truth, my Bible's back yonder in my grip, and it's stacked back there in the desk. Said, well, we got a Bible. I didn't want to tell them I didn't want to preach. I just figured they wouldn't want me to preach on the train. So as a result, I said, oh, I got it now. I said, I can't preach without singing. We had got a songbook. Said, yes, we bought some over Atlanta, and our song director from Dyersburg is here, and he'll lead the singing. Wasn't nothing to do but preach. And I got up on one of the seats and preached with all the fervor of my soul. When I got through, I seen a soldier boy go up and down the aisle and come and fell on his knees in front of me and said, preacher, I want to get saved. Said, I'm going over for the last time. I may never come back. Said, I went home, and my parents, instead of taking me to church, carried me to dances and to drinking parties. And I want to go to church, and I don't want to go back without being saved. But said, thank God I'm saved now. I said, amen. Invitation extended a little further, and another soldier came, and God saved him. He said, thank you for preaching. Because, he said, I was going home on a big old white oak tree. I'd done had it planned. I was so despondent, I was determined not to go back to service. And I done had the gun picked out. And the place and the time of the day I was going to suicide down out of that white oak tree, but I won't now. I'm saved. I'm ready to go. There's a train making 70 miles an hour and people on the train. But God saved those two soldiers on the train, see? Doesn't matter any place, any time. You know, aren't you glad we Baptists have got a salvation we don't have to apologize about and hunt some particular place to get it done in? He'll do it anywhere. L.R. Scarborough led a pilot to Christ when the plane was so high in the sky it looked like a little bug flying. 2 weeks later, that plane wrecked over at Dyess, Arkansas, and killed the pilot. And some of them saw him mumbling something. The natives that got to the plane before he died heard that pilot say, through the gurgle of blood coming out of his crushed body, out of his throat, he said, thank God, L.R. Scarborough led me to Jesus 2 weeks ago in the air. Way up there, several miles from a creek, but God saved. You can preach it anywhere, anytime, any place. It'll work. It'll work. I was in a town years ago. The WMU lady came to me, she and a couple others, and said, we won't talk to you. I said, okay. She said, we've got a harlot in our town. And our little town's becoming being known by that old girl. Could you tell us how to quietly get rid of her? Get her out of our time. It's a reflection on our culture. I said, yes, I can. I said, how? I said, y'all go with me and help me to lead her to Christ, and that'll rid the whole business. Oh, no, we wouldn't be caught down there. I said, yeah, you're done caught. You're going to go with me, and if you don't go with me, I'm going to tell before the whole congregation tonight, the WMU president and a couple of women in the missionary side wouldn't even go to me and help win a soul. They went with me. Down there in that home, I saw that woman come to Christ. Then said, preacher, before you go, I've led my daughter to be a harlot and I want her saved like I am. Let me go get her. And God saved the daughter. And the town said it won't hold out. But about a month after I left, one of the old men that had been going to her and having affairs with her got him a bottle of whiskey and said, fellows, I'll get her girl back. He went down, carried his bottle of whiskey and went in. She said, I'm so glad you've come. I've been wanting to tell you about my Lord since he saved me. And she started witnessing to him. He got up and started out and she grabbed the door away from him, closed the door, said, don't you go out. She said, I'll scream if you do. You just sit down. And she led him to Christ. And he come out and said, if you boys don't want to get saved, don't go down there now. business, my friends, is. We've got a salvation. Thank God we can preach it anywhere, anytime, to anybody. I was over in Alabama. Went down to the grocery store with a young man who was pastoring the meeting. Saw a little old boy in there ragged and had a little basket to get some groceries in. He's a crying. I don't know, I've always been sympathetic with the under-type person. I went over and put my arm around and said, son, what are you crying about? He said, mister, I had this list of groceries and I lost the dollar coming down here. And when I go home, my daddy's a drunkard and he gonna beat me to death for losing that money. And I'm dreading going home. I said, well, maybe you go back and look for it. I said, no, it done been yet to the front door. Somebody picked up the wind blew it when I dropped it. I said, well, go home and tell him. He said, no, they won't understand. He'll whoop me, cuss me. I saw his predicament. I got me a dollar out of my pocket, went around and bought his groceries. He's supposed to have a dime's change. And I said, now there's your dime. And this is a deep, dark secret between me and you. Don't ever tell nobody. You lost it. Everything's fine. And he went on his way smiling a little bit. I felt somebody tug at my coat and I looked. And it was him. I said, son, did you lose your dollar? You lose your dime? He said, no, sir. But he set his grocery basket down, threw his arms around my waist, looked up, said, mister, I don't know who you is, but I would to God I had a man for a daddy like you. What I'm saying is a lot of daddies are drunkards and mamas, and they need that Christ. They need this salvation, brethren. Go home and preach it and have your folks to teach it. It'll sober up the drunks and make drunken daddies decent daddies. That's the thing I want to challenge you with today. We've got the greatest thing on the face of the earth, salvation. Give it to them anywhere, any place, any time. Now nobody else hadn't got it. Now, I'm not being unkind, but if you don't know Baptist doctrine, you need to get a little hit on it. Did you know that Baptists is the only people that preach absolutely you can be saved without anything else except Jesus? Now, all the rest of them have to add a little something to it. And a lot of times can't add what they got to add just anywhere. But Baptists don't have to add it. Just present Jesus. He's the gift of God. He's the salvation. He's the package deal. You get all in Him you need. You don't have to have something else. See the message God's give us Baptists to preach and teach. How more than thank God we've got a message of eternal life. Amen. You know, if you went to a bank and you say, yeah, we'd be glad to keep your money, but I won't tell you. If everything don't go right, we'll throw it out in the street tomorrow. Who'd want to put their money in a place like that? I thank God I don't have to face the businessmen and the intelligent men and say, I got a savior today, but if you don't behave right, he'll lose you and throw you out tomorrow. Who wants that stuff? We've got a message of everlasting life, eternal life, born of an imperishable seed, an incorruptible seed. Whatever God does, it's forever. You don't add anything to it or take anything from it. God saves you in a split second. Oh, well, you can talk about your salvations in the past tense. You, happy quick and not going to do it, he quickened you when you say. You don't touch electric wire and say, I'm now being shocked. You touch it, I'm shocked. You don't touch a hot stone and say, I'm now being burned. You touch it, burning. You don't touch the living spirit of God and say, I'm now being saved. When he quickens you, you're saved. Instantaneously saved. And it's forever. You can't ever get anything added to it or anything taken from it. God does it. He don't do halfway. He does things with perfection. Then thank God. We've got a baptism to preach and teach. You don't have to apologize about it. Our baptism has the truth. And you don't have to apologize about it. And it's so good, you can take it and join anywhere you want to. And it's so good we won't take anybody's except ours. Preach it, teach it. Baptist baptismal, stand up in the light of the book and in the light of the word. Then, my friends, we got something else to teach and preach. And that is that everybody owes God a tithe in his house, on his altar. Now, God didn't say send it. He said bring it. Bunch of these radio preachers say, send me your tithe and God will bless you. He lied. Not a thing in this book where it says send it. He said bring it, put it in a basket and set it on the altar. Dedicate it to God. And if you rob God of a tithe, you're cursed with a curse. He's closed up heaven. We got a lot of Baptist churches robbing God. That's the reason you can't have a revival. They rob God of reverence. They don't reverence God. They rob God of revenue. And then rob God of a revival. My friends, go out there and find them. When you find them, fetch them. And when you fetch them, feed them. And then when you get them fed, fleece them. Then when you get them fleeced, feature them. God's people. The people of all people is God's people. Don't let them rob God of a tithe because they'd be cursed with a curse. Now this may shock some of your theology. But everybody regards who they are owe God a tithe. Wait a minute, preach. All right, that bunch of he called generation of vipers and snakes and their damnation slumber not, didn't he say they ought to tithe? Now argue with Jesus, don't argue with me. That old cuss in the country owes God a tithe. How much more we Christians owe God a tithe? My friends, we've got a message of salvation, of eternal life, of a tithe to carry our mission program around the world. Preach it, teach it, practice it, and lead the folks to it. Go home. We've got the message of light. No confused darkness. We've got the message of refuge. We've got the message of love. Preach it, teach it, practice it. Get at it. Call on your teachers. Call on your leaders to preach this message, to teach this message. And it'll do the work. I've seen it do it, and it still does. Amen.